Hello and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the Sunshine Boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
Last you heard Kushagra Agarwal, who runs a Hero Motorcorp dealership in Varanasi, talk about the motorcycle market in India and its evolution from the days of the Rajdoot to today's Harley-Davidson boom. Today we bring you the story of a man who came of age both personally and professionally in an environment created solely by the reforms.
Noida and Gurgaon were these two hubs where like people were literally handing out pamphlets, come work with us. That was around the time when, you know, your face was not needed. There was this boom in call center jobs and back-end jobs, which was a game changer for a lot of us. You need not to be from a certain background or a certain somewhere. You just needed to know the language and you just needed to be adaptable to the training they were giving you, and you were fit for the job.
But your sexual identity wasn't at all a concern during the interview.
I didn't bring it up. They didn't ask me. I didn't look so camp, maybe.
Those of you who are old enough to remember such things will smile fondly when we say the phrase call centers. Today's swanky corporate offices, fancy startup spaces are the norm, but there was a time when cool in the employment sector was completely dominated by the call center boom. IT services, good telecommunication links, and a large workforce with a working knowledge of English meant that India became the outsourcing hub of phone helplines. Of course, call centers was the unofficial name for the industry, which actually went by the loftier name of business process outsourcing that catered to multinational corporations. From telesales to service calls, the call centers were where all the work was and the money. According to a BBC article, during its peak, the industry was growing at a rate of 50 to 70% a year. The same article also quoted, rather condescendingly, we may add, that in India it was considered high status to work in an air-conditioned office. Most of the people employed in these call centers that usually worked through the night, since it was daytime in the West, were young, barely out of college graduates. Our interviewee today, Monish Malhotra, a 28-year-old PR executive, is the product of this boom. Let Malhotra, an out-of-the-closet homosexual, take you through his journey of coming of age, both personally and professionally, in the era when both call centers and the internet boomed in India, and how this affected his life choices.
Hi, my name is Monish Malhotra and I'm 28 years old. Currently, I'm a public relations professional. And I think that really, at that point in time, I was just looking around. Pretty much everybody I knew was just wanted to make a career in call centers. I mean, my first salary was 10,000 rupees when I was 17. And my father probably made that much money. It was really ironic. I remember I just went, I borrowed my uncle's two-wheeler and I drove it all the way to Noida and went for the interview. And they asked me, how old are you? I said, I'm 18 years old. I've just cleared my 12th standard. He's like, do you have the certificate? I was like, yes, I have the certificate. And 15 days of training and somebody is teaching you soft skills and how to be polite on a phone and phone manners and this, that. And then, yeah, in 2 weeks, you're like ready for action. There was such a boom at that point in time. I think nobody was even cross-checking anything because there was just this sudden need of massive employment. Whole gamut of new jobs and better pays open up to you. And there was this desperation, I must tell you, amongst all these BPOs. They were looking for good kids, whoever could just like do the job, let's hire them. So many of us actually, for quite some time, I remember I just did the training for 2 months and then quit and went to the next place. And then that's it. No real work and just picked up the salary for 2 months. But then I got serious about it. Then I worked at this one place for a long time. I got promoted. I quit before I turned 20. I was an assistant manager training. I remember I used to earn like some 40,000 rupees.
Malhotra was introduced first to computers and then to the internet when still in school. Initially, he explained that the internet was how employment was secured. Remember job portals? But then Malhotra started using the internet for something much more important, exploring his sexuality. It was the internet, he tells us, who told him it was okay to be gay. And it was the internet chat rooms where he started meeting others like him.
I can only speak for myself personally. I'm a very inquisitive person. So even before I decided I was gay, first I wanted to check whether such a thing exists or not.
And what was the way to check?
Internet. And it helped. My God, when I found out, it really happens and it's really there, and I was really sure. So I thought that there were no gay chat rooms in India, let's say. But then typed on internet, found out that in US on Yahoo chat, room number so and so is for gay. So I remember we used to go there and chat anybody from India, then filter it down from anybody from Delhi. And that's how we used to meet people.
For Malhotra, a partner was a click away, but it wasn't always so easy. Not for the gay community at any rate. He recalls here how people got around to meeting new partners, in which, interestingly, public library books played a key role.
You know, this is post the era of people of Nehru Park and people leaving their numbers on certain kind of books in a public library. This is how the cruising happened before the age of internet, because I've heard from the people before my generation. There was a code, red or pink books, so you write your number on page number certain this thing, and that time it was landline numbers. There were no mobile phones or either. From there to imagine going to the parks, then the scene moving to the internet. I think internet sort of made this park much more bigger and worldwide. And then suddenly I think one fine day around 2007 or 2008, everything changed. There were suddenly a lot more gay people in the city than there were earlier, or maybe just people started to accept that enough. Now we're going to come out of the closet.
In 2012, the government of India submitted figures to the Supreme Court, according to which India has about 2.5 million gay people. This figure was taken from the National AIDS Control Program. Malhotra here talks about how economic independence, which is a direct offshoot of the boom in the job market, has made it possible for many in his community to embrace their sexuality, come out of the closet, and live life on their terms.
In the 80s, the published data says that there were only five gay people in. And I think maybe it is the whole byproduct of liberalization and internet and technology and this whole boom of you know, all sorts of employment, is when people get the courage, when they can sustain and support themselves, as when they come to terms with their own sexuality, and then suddenly you see the graph going up in terms of visibility. You know, when you're not depending for your basic provisions onto somebody, you are in a little space to negotiate.
So how do you meet new people? Parties, through the internet, the usual means, right? For the homosexual community, it's no different. Though Malhotra does admit that there was a time when the partying scene was so bad, it almost made him cry. From dingy farmhouses and pubs where the police would routinely conduct raids, to gay parties in some of the city's most upscale restaurants, Malhotra tells us again how economic independence plus the exposure that international travelling brings helped bring the queer partying scene into the mainstream in India.
What were the public spaces like when you were growing up?
There were gay parties. It's been happening around for many years. 15 or 18 maybe. First time I went during depression. Because it was so out in my face, were all kinds of people. It was very overwhelming. And it was all at a farmhouse. A few years later, I started organizing those gay parties. After I started this PR job. Then I had access to all these fabulous who were businessmen, who were well-traveled, who had seen gay bars abroad and were not shying from doing a gay party at their restaurants. And suddenly I knew rich people from privilege and people who own bars. So I started talking to a few people. So I spoke to 3-4 of them and all of them agreed. And suddenly from dingy farmhouses and dirty bars in Noida where police raids used to happen, the gay scene moved into the mainstream, bang in the middle of the city, on a side. Like places like Olive, Chibo, Veda, I, Zoo, Guppy. And suddenly we were able to negotiate with these mainstream people and say that we give you business, but will you give your space to us? And see, power, any kind of power, lets you negotiate. Now, in generic terms, in social economic reform way, the first thing of influence is money. It may not be everything, but it is a lot of things. And as long as it is involved in some way or the other, I think it lets you bargain with lots of things and people in life in general.
What do you think about the older, about the generation struggles?
What I've seen is the rich ones managed to negotiate with their parents and did not marry. But a lot of middle class people gave in to the pressure of family and society and had to marry. In fact, me and my friends, people I see around me, we are the first generation of people who've actually moved out of their houses and started an individual, single unit, queer life. We are challenging marriage, we are challenging the set ways of life. Our lives are going to be all over the place, but this is how it is. It is just, you know, it's different and you have to accept it and just embrace it and be happy about it. And I think, yeah, it's working out.
Malhotra knows about reforms, about as much as any layperson. Which is to say that while he's not aware of the numbers and figures, but he does know that they've shaped the India that he lives in today. It has created economic and social conditions that have made it possible, as he says, for many of them to carve out independent queer identities.
Now that we're talking about it right now and looking back in retrospective, we can say that it is a byproduct of liberalization. When it was all happening, we didn't know it is because of the liberalization it is happening. When you're in the moment, you don't really know. It was all happening all around. Yes, I was. Okay, much more options and things happening, you know, like suddenly New York Times articles appearing in your computer screen and you're connected to the whole world and, you know, you're talking to people all around.
So most of the choices, the job choices that you've taken are sort of a product of liberalization, the 1991 economic reforms.
Absolutely.
So can you imagine the life without it?
I think I'd just still be living with my parents doing some CA type jobs. But knowing myself, I wouldn't have just accepted to give in to the pressure and say, okay, fine, I'm going to get married because there are no options. Maybe in that case, one would have thought of moving out of the country and just going away.
So, I mean, again, we spoke about it a little, but what does the word liberalization mean to you?
A lot more expression than it was allowed earlier. We could express ourselves much more because we knew the options were open and should something, you know, even if something dicey happened, you know you had means to survive. And
this series is about the impact of economic reforms on the lives of ordinary people. In some cases, the impact is obvious. In some cases, like Malhotra's, it's not really so apparent. But take a step back, as he does, and you will realize that every choice of his, made as an adult, has been enabled by the environment which was created by the reforms, be it economic or personal. Today, India's homosexual community is struggling for legal acceptance as the government and the courts continue to uphold Section 377 of the Indian Penal Code. Even now, in some pockets where acceptance is negligible, the furtive nature of homosexual associations rules large. But there is also a young section out there of which people like Malhotra are an integral part, who don't just embrace their sexuality but are proud of it. And as he says in hindsight, this is one of the biggest gifts of reforms for him. This interview was conducted by Ashfaq Masoodi and this podcast was produced by Anik Biswas.